Luciano on your Republican primary ballot. I'm willing to take a stand for free markets, low taxes, and personal freedoms. So whether you've been a victim of Shumlin's tax hikes or the disaster of Vermont Health Connect, write in my name, Dan Feliciano, for governor on your Republican primary ballot on August 26th, and together we can give Vermont a successful turnaround. That's F-E-L-I-C-I-A-N-O. F-E-L-I-C-I-A-N-O. Learn more at danfeliciano.com.
Paid for by Dan Feliciano for Vermont Governor.
He's been called a surefire cure for the blahs by the New York Times. It's accident-prone and dangerously funny Tom Murphy in Laugh Till You Die at the Spruce Peak Performing Arts Center in Stowe on Saturday, August 16th.
Hi, this is Tom Murphy. Join me in a riotous journey through life, love, falling down, and getting back up again in my new solo performance, Laugh Till You Die.
Bring the whole family out to see Tom Murphy in Stowe on Saturday, August 16th. For tickets, visit sprucepeakarts.org.
All right, we go right to the phone. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to Governor Peter Shumlin. Governor, thank you for joining us. How are you this morning?
Hey, it's great to be on, Mark. Good to be with you.
You, I know we're, I'm going to talk about the Doug Racine departure here. I know initially you had some questions about his managerial experience when you hired him 3.5 years ago, but that was 3.5 years ago. So why now the change?
Well, you know, Secretary Racine did some remarkable things at the agency. Let's remember, it's the biggest agency of state government, extremely complex, and frankly, one of the toughest to run because you're serving Vermonters who are most vulnerable and really need help in often in very, very difficult circumstances. There's no one that's fought harder for low-income Vermonters than Secretary Racine, and as you know, he did some good work bringing about accountability for the money that we're spending. He took a state hospital that was closed down in the middle of the night, helped us rebuild the entire mental health system. So we did a lot of good work. As governor, my job is to ensure that we ask our secretaries and commissioners to do everything that they need to do as it needs to be done and keep them, you know, there for as long as we feel their service is productive. And then at times, I feel it's time for a new style of leadership. So I'm grateful to Secretary Racine for his service. He did a great job in many, many areas of the agency. I simply felt, and it's my, you know, my responsibility as governor to make judgments like this, that it was time for a new kind of leadership,
new style. But why now? What's particular about now?
Well, you know, I'm not going to get too much into the details in respect for former Secretary Racine. I don't see any great benefit in dissecting the past. What I can tell you is I'm incredibly grateful that someone of the caliber of incoming Secretary Chen to go in, figure out what's working, what's not working, and we'll work together to make sure that the agency continues to do what it's got to do for Vermonters, which is take care of our most vulnerable and do it in a way that is effective, efficient, and thoughtful.
Okay. Well, looking in the future here, why do you want a new style of leadership?
You know, I don't, again, I don't see any benefit in rehashing the past. I don't think it's a secret to Vermonters that there's been challenges at the agency, that we've been struggling in some areas. And I simply felt that a new style of leadership was exactly what the agency needed right now to carry out its mission. And, you know, I don't make these decisions easily. Needless to say, if you look at the commissioners and secretaries that have worked with me over the last 3.5 years, most of them are still with me and doing their job admirably. I simply felt that it was time for change.
All right, and I'm not looking to trash the guy either, but you say that you keep people until they're no longer productive. That just suggests to me, and I think people listening, that you didn't feel that Doug was being productive any longer.
Well, I wouldn't, you know, maybe that's not the fair way to characterize. I'm not saying no longer productive. What I am saying is that I made the judgment as governor that a different style of leadership was necessary in order to carry forward the mission of the most important agency in state government. And that's a judgment I make for all kinds of reasons that I'm not going to share, except to say that's why we hire governors to make judgments like that.
You mentioned there have been problems. There were problems at the Department of Children and Families, also obviously problems, a lot of problems with the healthcare website. What difference does it make who's in charge of an agency when you have problems that are really down at a much lower level?
Well, you know, you got to remember that I've come to state government from building and running two businesses. And, you know, in business, we make judgments like this all the time. The CEO of a business, which is really what the governor has to be for the state of Vermont, has to figure out, you know, what's working, what's appropriate for the time, and then what kind of leadership you need going forward. And, you know, I know we all want to say, you know, it was, I made this judgment because of this or that. I made this judgment because I really felt that Secretary Racine had done a great and admirable job leading the agency through 3.5 years, but that I needed a different style of leadership to do, to continue to have the agency to be effective. And that's the judgment I made.
Mm-hmm. But you said that really the problems at DCF were not a big factor, or is that not accurate?
Well, you know, again, everyone wants to understand the inner workings of why a governor makes a judgment like this. And in fairness to Secretary Racine, and in fairness to who's a friend of mine, and in fairness to the hard work that he's done, there's really no benefit in having that conversation at this time. So I'm just not going to. Obviously, I felt that it was time for a different kind of leadership, and that's a judgment that I am hired to make.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are tough judgments. They're not easy decisions to make, but I think it was the right one.
The style of leadership, I mean, I'm thinking about Dr. Chen, very, you know, Doug Racine, very low-key kind of a guy. I'm thinking Dr. Harry Chen, very low-key kind of a guy, too.
Well, you know, Dr. Chen has impressed me with his ability to be an extraordinarily good manager. And I suspect that comes from his years of having to make life-and-death judgments in emergency rooms as a doctor and to keep people alive when they're in really tough situations. So, you know, this is a person that makes tough decisions, analyzes the data, and isn't unable to make very tough decisions in a very thoughtful way. So the reason I've asked Secretary Chen to take over is because of his proven track record in being able to assess the data and make very clear, concise, and thoughtful decisions.
Did you think about making changes at a lower level, closer to where the problems actually exist?
I'm not going to go there, to be honest, Mark. I just don't see any benefit in digging into the past. What I have to do as governor is make sure that state government is humming, doing its job, being responsive, making sure that we're not dropping the ball. And, you know, obviously I'm always assessing how we're doing well, what we're not doing so well, and trying to make sure that we've got a responsive, effective government.
All right. So let me again ask you, in the future here, do you see the need for any more changes, or is it you're just going to let Dr. Chen make that assessment and everybody's safe in the meantime?
You know, I think it's important to remember that I'm hardly a person who goes around having temper tantrums and firing folks. I'm someone who is very deliberate about the way I manage state government. And I am very loyal to the people that are doing the hard work out there. So all I can tell you is, you know, because I have to make a judgment like this, a difficult judgment like this, doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, all my secretaries and commissioners are going to be fired next week. What it means is that I expect to get the results that I need from state government. And if I don't get them, I ask for change.
Last question. Can anybody possibly run this agency? It's enormous.
Well, I think we've proven from past secretaries that clearly people are able to run the agency. And I want to be clear about this. Secretary Racine did many great things at the agency. I was ready for a different style of leadership.
What's the style of leadership you're looking for?
Well, I think as I expressed about Secretary Chen, he is someone who will be able to go in, assess what's working well, what's not working so well, and together with my team, ensure that we get it working well.
Thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. Governor Peter Shumlin joining us live on the line. All right, what are your thoughts, comments? I'd love to hear your what you think about our discussion. What do you think about the change here? I'd be curious to know. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll free, you can reach us at 877-291-8255. A moment of your time for our friends at Green Mountain Access. If you're looking for an outstanding local internet service provider, make it our friends at gmavt.net. You can call them toll free at 1-888-321-0815 and on the web at gmavt.net. They are a division of Waitsfield and Champlain Valley Telecom, and if you're in that service area, you can speak with them about combining those services into one affordable package. Again, reach them toll-free at 1-888-321-0815 and on the web at gmavt.net. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk with a national expert on depression. And we'll do that at about 10:15. All right, let's take some of your calls. Let's head over to Morrisville, Virginia. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I'd like to comment. I just picked up the last comment from the governor, and I'd like to tell you that my opinion, and it's only an opinion, is that Peter Shumlin, like Harry Truman, has a favorite phrase, except his says the buck stops there. It is never Peter's fault. It's always someone else's fault. It's always somebody else's responsibility. And, he can't afford. He has to cut across state government by 31%, but he has money to buy an $8 million or whatever the heck it is that he's paying the new consultants to make this health care system work. And I'm in favor of single payer. I just don't think we can afford it. So that's my comment.
$31 million, just let me correct you on that.
What did I say, Billy?
31%.
Okay.
But thank you for your call. I appreciate
it. Bye.
244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. Let's go to Callis. John, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for taking my call. I am chiming in on the story you're covering regarding the ouster of Secretary Racine. My opinion is he is continues to be a very dedicated public servant, that he deserves better. And I have... my perspective on why he was shown the door with little foreknowledge is that this administration is very sensitive. They don't take well to bad press, and not that Doug was the cause of any of that bad press from my perspective, but he didn't get in front of the bullets, so to speak, and defend the administration as well as maybe the Shulman administration would expect from a secretary. So they would see that as a weakness, as a failing, and obviously the death penalty is in order.
Doesn't somebody need to be held accountable for the problems that are out there, though?
Yeah, AHS is probably the most complicated agency in state government, with a massive budget, a massively underfunded budget. In my day job, I work at VSCA. We've been touring the state, meeting with DCF employees after their work. And, you know, it's a horror show over there in terms of the underfunding and the caseloads, as we've all read about. They cannot keep up. It's like the Isle of Lucy flick where the chocolate
candy
keeps coming faster and faster, and they just can't pop them in their mouths and put them in the boxes fast enough. That's what's going on, but... this isn't a chocolate factory. These are real people's lives. These are people that are in children at extreme risk and adults at extreme risk. You know, they cover everything from mental health to, you know, family health services and safety. So, you know, to underfund at the level we have in Vermont, and I understand the difficult economic times we're in, it's to me inexcusable. And to then lay blame for all the underfunding and the consequences of underfunding at the feet of Doug Racine. I think he deserves better. I think it's totally inappropriate. And at least he gives someone, you know, a little bit more of a heads up. The governor says that Doug is his friend. I know I wouldn't treat a friend like that. I wouldn't fire my lawn boy the way he got rid of Doug Racine.
Mm-hmm. You would have given him, a couple of months, said, you know, we're going to make a change at the first of the year or something like that?
Yeah, well, if you really are working in the interest of the public and in the agency and the clients, if you will, of the Agency of Human Services. But of course, you'd want to transition. You'd want to have Doug kind of do the debriefs and work through and transition to the next secretary, maybe bring another deputy in. Mm-hmm. But to do that, that does a disservice to all involved, not only Doug Racine, but us as the public. You know, Doug, if you look at his 3.5 years, really, so much of that was training, right? He's never run an agency before. He was a senator for many years. But so we make an investment in Doug Racine, and he's up to speed. He knows what's going on. He understands the complexities of that agency's operations. He gets it figured out. He gets it dialed in. He's got his nose to the grindstone, or his shoulder to the wheel. And what do? They give him the boot. I just think it's inexcusable, personally.
Thank you for your call, John. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
It's over to Montpelier. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good, thanks.
That's good. Just a few things. You know, I just caught in on the tail end of someone's interview with you. And once again, he's touting how he ran two businesses. And I don't think in business you can unilaterally fire someone. You can build a monument to your own personal success, all of which are not really acceptable from a democratic self-governance standpoint. Yeah, sure, he fired his campaign rival, one of the leading lights in the Democratic Party, fired him kind of in a Saturday Night Massacre position. And it's this unilateralism. Basically, the money that was spent on rollout, the Northern Gas Pipeline, we're seeing this kind of high-handed sort of, you know, it's my way or the highway. I'm not going to raise taxes on my rich friends. Peter Shumlin, really, his political address is Democrat / Republican representing money. And again, I mean, I really, now he seems like he's scrambling. But would you care to comment on what constituency he's really representing here?
Well, I would first challenge your comparison to the Saturday Night Massacre.
Okay,
the
right.
Fire.
That was a little over the top. You didn't use any intermediaries,
right.
I guess.
But, All right. What's the other part of it that you'd like me to comment on?
Well, we're looking at the gas pipeline, for instance, and the Shumlin administration's coziness with Gaz Metro and CBPS, and basically the money that was spent on the rollout was a no-bid contract, essentially, given to who, and consistently what we're seeing in the Shumlin administration is a sort of cronyism, and, you know, kind of cronyism with the human face. And I guess I'm wondering if you see examples of that as well.
Well, what is it? I'm not clear. What does this have to do with Doug Racine? Or are you talking about something else?
Doug Racine, I think, was just a sacrificial goat, because there's somebody has to go for this. It's starting to pick up momentum. It turns out the replacement for CGI has problems of its own,
right,
as near as I can tell. And so something big, in quotation marks, needs to be done. And I think Doug Racine was it.
Yeah. No, I think there's absolutely there's no question he's a scapegoat. There are problems. I guess the question that I still have is getting rid of the person at the top, is getting rid of Doug Racine going to make the website work any better? Are children going to be any better protected? You know, it sounds as though really we have some real system failures, and it's not really the person at the top. You know, we've got, as you just heard John describe here, caseworkers in the Department of Children and Family that can't keep up with the caseload. That, you know, that's the level of the problem here. It's not that the direction from the top, somebody saying, you know, don't investigate this, don't investigate that. That's when it's appropriate to get rid of the person at the top. You know, there have been these problems with the healthcare website. Doug Racine is quoted somewhere today saying that he really was not given any authority over that was really being run out of the governor's office. So, you know, to hold him accountable for those problems in that website, if he didn't have the authority to oversee it, seems not fair. On the other hand, you know, he's running an agency where there have been problems. If you do have the buck stop somewhere, you can make the argument that, you know, the leadership counts. So, you know, there's an argument either way here. But as I say, I don't have a lot of confidence sitting here today that making a change here at the top is really going to result in children being better protected. I think, you know, more money needs to be put into that. We have, you know, we have a crisis. I mean, we have too many kids in jeopardy. And boy, you know, if we can't protect the kids and can't protect the seniors, then really, what is the function of government? 244-1777 is our local number. Toll free, 877-291-8255. Let's go to Williamstown. Good morning, Rama.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. You know, I think part of this issue, and it's not so much about Racine, and it's probably more about our Office of Governor here in Vermont, and the size of the Department of Human Services, in that, you know, we just have so many layers of oversight over some of these programs in the Department of Human Services. And, you know, Vermont is not like California, New York, or Texas, where you have to have a governor whose basic job is just overseeing people who oversee people who oversee people. The governor in Vermont, it's a small state, can be the centralizing force to make sure that priorities are dealt with in a proper and efficient method. And in order for the governor to do that, you need to remove some of these layers of bureaucracy. And some of these commissioners should be department heads of their own right, you know, of their own agencies, instead of trying to create these bigger and bigger centralized agencies. I think that's where our big problem is with this.
Well, you know, I asked the governor if he thought anybody could run an agency this big, and he pointed to it and he said people have done it in the past.
Well, yeah, but look at the complaints that are coming out of it now. I mean, DHC in the size that it is now has only been around for 10 or 15 years. So we just may be seeing the bad fruits of trying to do too much centralization and not enough of having the governor stick to running the government, and instead of trying to have more people who can answer to people who can answer to people. You know, if it's not working, like Shumlin does say, if it's not working, you change something. And I think that's, you know, where people should be looking at changing. That DA, that Department of Human Services, is just huge by Vermont standards, and there's just too much involved.
Thanks for your call. Let's head over to Montpelier. We have another Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Mark. I'm a longtime state employee, 36 years, and I don't think the public realizes that a lot of the decisions in state government by this administration are made at the fifth floor level. Secretary Spaulding, the Secretary of Administration. State employees met with Doug Racine this summer. He has a lot less authority than people realize. You know, this administration, you know, they choose their commissioners. They don't delegate as much as past administrations. I mean, I know this. I work for state government. Secretaries and commissioners are not free to run the departments as they see fit. You know, a lot of the decisions in state government come, frankly, from the fifth floor at the Pavilion Building. And I think, you know, there's a fair amount of ineptitude, and it just can't be about Governor Shumlin. It can't be about Jeb Spaulding. No, somebody else does have to take the hit when something goes wrong. I mean, the problems with Vermont Health Connect, I mean, this whole concept, idea, and implementation comes out of the Pavilion Building. I mean, they select the people to put in, they have the vision, and when it doesn't work, it can't be their fault. Mm-hmm. And this administration, like a couple of callers previous, the buck stops there. They do not accept responsibility, and that is my personal opinion. I mean, they've started a war a few times with the state employees union, and they're quick to the press. They don't keep their word, and they're disingenuous. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell, the most disingenuous lot of folks I've ever dealt with.
So when you say that they don't accept responsibility, so what would that look like? And what would you say would be accepting responsibility? The governor stepping down?
Accepting responsibility first would be acknowledging some of the problems that exist. Second, it would be delegating more authority
to your secretaries and your commissioners, and it would also be hiring people based on their expertise. You know, the way you should fill secretaries and commissioners is that you have a need that you interview, you hire, you recruit. Not, I come into office and I have a list of 10 or 12 people that need jobs, and I sprinkle them throughout state government and keep my fingers crossed and hope nothing goes wrong. I mean, that's not how you run, that's not how you run government. That's not a good way to run government. I had plenty of issues with Jim Douglas philosophically and ideologically, but he did put some, you know, some talented people in place.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't agree with what they were doing, but they were skilled.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the most political, administration I've ever seen. If there is, you know, if you can be more political than another politician, he reminds me of the old movie with Andy Griffith, Face in a Crowd. It's probably some of your senior citizens might remember that movie.
Mm.
I mean, it's just, and as a state employee, we're tired of being vilified too. You know, it's always our fault for something.
Yeah. Okay. When you said decision, I appreciate your call. When you say that decisions come out of the fourth floor that should be done more at the agency, can you just give me an example of that?
Fifth floor.
Sorry.
Agency secretaries, they don't hire the commissioners. Policies are not necessarily implemented. If a commissioner or an agency secretary says, "Oh my gosh, you know, we're going to need more help in this area," they can't go to the legislature and say, "I need two more positions here." Oh, no, it all has to be vetted through the fifth floor. And they cannot articulate, they're not free to articulate if there's a problem unless, you know, you run it by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, all decisions have to go through the bottleneck of the fifth floor. And I can't say that with absolute, you know, all decisions, but certainly major decisions. They've got a hand on a lot of stuff. They're not giving their top people free rein. That's my assessment. I'm not one of the top people, so I don't know that firsthand. But that's the way it appears to me.
Well, you've been around, so you speak with experience.
Lots of it.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Let's go up to Burlington. Dale, good morning.
Yes, just a couple of quick comments. The first being on the way that he let Secretary Racine go by not even being there personally.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the way that Governor Shumlin used to run his travel business, that's not a very good management techniques. He should have been there without doubt. Should have had the conversation instead of making that Monday night phone call after it hit the press and all that. So that's just one critical comment there of the governor. But I also feel that Secretary Racine probably cemented his own fate a couple months ago during the heat of the situations with the children that have passed away, et cetera, when he basically made a comment, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but like he was basically staying out of it. His management style wasn't to be involved with it and that type thing. If you're the head of the operation, you better be involved in it, especially when it's a life and death situation. So I don't think the secretary actually helped himself with that comment.
Mm-hmm.
And those will be my two comments for that.
I think I want to correct you on one thing, though. If the governor talked to him on Monday night, it wasn't announced until yesterday morning. So
okay.
But I hear you. You know, had I had more time, I might have asked him that. And he didn't sound like he really was being terribly cooperative, really, when you get into details on this. But I would have asked him that same question. You know, why weren't you there? But on the other hand, that's what if you're a governor, you delegate. That's where you have your administration secretary and your chief of staff. Maybe that's the right level.
Sure that if it was a good situation, he'd have been there.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's probably true. Yeah, that's a fair point. All right,
okay.
Thanks for your call, Dale.
Yep, bye.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free, 877-291-8255. Do you have printing projects as part of your job as part of your place of business, maybe even in your own life, very much encourage you to use the services of Jet Service Envelope in Southbury. They can make it happen for you. And I think they can do it more professionally than you can because, yeah, they're trained to do that. And they can do it, I would say, even in many cases, more affordably, because when you start figuring out where you got to pay for all this equipment and all the service contracts, I know, you know, everybody likes to, they have their favorite copier person come in, but you can skip that social visit and maybe make another friend somewhere else and save yourself a boatload of money. Nothing, you know, nothing against you folks in the copying business world, but truth is, many people go out and buy this equipment, and it is like the largest paperweight on the planet. And when you consider how many projects you actually do in a given year, I don't know. Just sometimes the numbers don't seem to work. So give the folks at Jet Service Envelope, if you want to get pricing information, want to get more information, want to find out the many, many services they provide. They could publish your memoirs, for example. Of course, you have to do something significant in your life in order to be publishing memoirs. You could have them print up that nice newsletter that you have as part of your business. How about a nice trifold brochure? Maybe some new letterhead for the business, too, which, of course, would go in a brand new envelope. Who would you call? Yes, Jet Service Envelope, 229-9335, and on the web at jetservice-envelope.com.
This is Dave Birmingham and Bentley from 802cars.com. At 802 Toyota, you pay what we pay. Every new vehicle in stock will be sold at employee pricing, with no exceptions. You pay the same low price a dealership employee pays. The sixth annual employee pricing program is on at 802 Toyota, on every new Toyota in stock.
So if I want a Corolla,
you pay what we pay.
I want a Camry.
The all-new Highlander works,
you pay what we pay.
Don't forget my RAV4 either.
From Yaris to Tundra at 802 Toyota,
you pay what we pay.
We're so easy to find. Click on 802toyota.com. Call 844-802-TOYOTA. Drive ID9 to exit 7. Employee pricing is less than 1 minute off the interstate. 802 Toyota, driving to be Vermont's number one Toyota dealer.
Under new ownership and management, the Middlesex Country Store has a bright and friendly atmosphere with lots to offer. They have a great selection of cold sandwiches made to order, plus delicious sandwiches in the deli. There's a carefully picked rotating stock of craft beers in the coolers along with your favorite chilled soft drinks. Bikers, both motorized and pedal pushers, are always welcome. The Middlesex Country Store is under new ownership and management at the corner of Routes 2 and 100B in Middlesex. The coffee's on. Come in and say hi.
Who is Granite Hills Credit Union? We're not a large, out-of-state, out-of-touch corporation. We are a locally managed, full-service credit union open to anyone who lives or works in Washington or Orange counties. As a credit union owned by its members, Granite Hills can offer highly competitive loan rates and extremely favorable deposit rates. Besides offering time-saving services such as online banking, electronic bill payment, and multiple ATM locations, the staff is made up of people you know who live in our community and take a personal interest in finding the right financial solution for you. We invite you to become a member today. Just visit our friendly Montpelier or Barrie office or go to granitehills.org to learn more about this hometown financial institution that has been serving our community for over 50 years.
At Granite Hills Credit Union, the difference is you.
Member NC.